Friends, so far we have seen lot many aspects of the trade finance. General regulation, general guidelines, Incoterms, then import related matter, export related, then even recently what the chapter which we have concluded, the project export and the service exports. So almost a full gamut of the trade finance we have covered so far. Now, let us, outside the scope of transaction, documentation, all these aspects, let us keep it aside and let us understand what does it make for promotion of the export, whether it will be incentives, whether it will be the schemes, whether it will be the exporters' efforts or anything else, and what are the promotional incentives offered by the Government of India as well as the other regulatory authorities, taxation related matters, then benefit to the exporters on export of the goods, what are the schemes pertaining to such a kind of incentives. That is what also we have to, as a prudent banker of the trade finance, and as a prudent student of the trade finance, we have to understand that. Therefore, this particular chapter, we are going to discuss about export promotion incentives. Export promotion incentives. For that purpose, the chapter is structured in the manner that each and every entity is covered who gives the boost to the export by offering them various services and refund of taxes. So first we will see the role of the government, then we will see what is the role played by the Reserve Bank of India, then what is the role played by the Exim Bank, and role, most of the important role is played by the banks, that is authorized dealer banks, and export promotion offered or export incentives which are offered by the governments. Okay, so let us start our discussion. In addition to that, some of the other aspects like rupee export credit interest rate, export incentive by Exim Bank, RBI, and then export credit insurance by ECGC, and the ECGC covers which are available to the exporters, that we are going to check it now. Considering the need of export, of the growth, export growth, the government has the various measures such as setting up of number of autonomous bodies, organizations to functions as an export promotion councils and under the Ministry of Commerce and Textiles. This is very important step. So the other entities like banks, Exim Banks, Reserve Bank, they have also played a significant role to boost the exports. Making export an effective instrument for promoting the greater economic activity and the employment opportunity, as well as the number of schemes which have been in existence for some time, now have been strengthened and improved upon, and some new ones have been introduced. And old one where there is no much benefit occurred, that has been discarded. Okay, similar type, the assistance to the state for development of the export infrastructure and allied activities, in short it is called as ASIDE. These schemes is encouraging the active involvement of the state government, respective state government, for the development of the export infrastructure through the assistance which is linked to the export performance. Now, let us see the role of the government in respect of the schemes which provides an outlay of the deployment of the export infrastructure, which distributed among the states, inter alia the basis of the state's exports, the state's export performance in the previous year. The schemes, definitely there will be always review, inputs is always provided, like that the schemes are going revived every year, year on year basis. The schemes which are subsumed, the three central government scheme, our government, three schemes. One is the Export Promotion Industrial Park, that is EPIP. Then Critical Infrastructure Balance Scheme, that is CIB, and the Export Development Fund, that is EDF scheme for the Northeast region, which was formulated by the Government of India, that has been summed together or put together, and they have summed and consolidated new scheme has put it into place. Now, if that is the role of the government, then what is the role of Reserve Bank of India? Reserve Bank of India, as you know, is the monetary authority and the managers of the foreign exchange. This aims to attain the price stability and ensure that adequate credit flow is made available to the productive sectors. And also RBI, being the manager of the foreign exchange, it seeks to facilitate the external trade payment and the promote orderly development and maintenance of the foreign exchange market in India. Export credit is an important tool or factor which helps the exporters in executing their export order efficiently. So, the export finance is granted in rupee as well as in foreign currency that we have seen in earlier chapters also. RBI had taken some measures to enable the hassle-free flow of the credit to the export sectors, which include the rationalization of and liberalization of the export credit interest rate. Export credit interest rate at the pre-shipment and post-shipment stage. Then special financial package for the large value exporters and export finance for the agriculture export. Gold card scheme is also issued or maybe floated by the Reserve Bank of India. It has also granted a freedom to the banks to get the funds from abroad without any ceiling or without any limit, exclusively for the purpose of granting the export credit in foreign currency. And this has enabled the banks to increase their lending capacity under the export credit in foreign currency also. Another entity which is involved in promotion of the export is the Exim Bank. The Exim Bank specially extend the line of credit to the overseas entities, national governments, then regional financial institutions and commercial banks. This also extend the buyer's credit and the supplier's credit to finance and promote the country's export. Exim Bank also provide the financial assistance to export-oriented Indian companies by way of granting them the term loans in Indian rupees as well as in foreign currency for setting up of the production facility, expansion and modernization of existing units and facilities for acquisition of the production equipment and the technology. If this kind of a very big opportunity is given to the exporter by the Exim Bank, it is imperative or it is obligatory on part to understand the functions of the Exim Bank also. What are those functions that Exim Bank is carried? Number one, financing export and import of the goods and services. It is not only in India, but in other world countries, that is third country also. Similarly, financing of export and import of machinery and equipment on lease basis. Okay, lease basis. And the financing joint venture also in foreign countries. In addition to that, it provides the loans to the Indian parties to enable them to contribute to the share capital of the joint venture and wholly owned subsidiaries abroad. And to undertake, they are also undertaking the limited merchant banking functions such as underwriting of the stock, shares, bonds, debentures of the Indian companies which are engaged in the export and import, and to provide them the technical assistance, administrative and financial assistance to the parties in connection with export and import. While the understanding the function, now let us have a look at the objective. Why the Exim Bank came into the existence? What is their objective and functional areas of the bank? That is Exim Bank. Objectives. Objective is to extend, first, to extend the funded and non-funded facilities to the overseas turnkey project, big projects, civil construction contract, technical and consultancy services contract, as well as supplies also. Then turnkey project are those, as we have seen earlier also, those which involve the supply of equipment along with the related services like design, detailed engineering reports, civil construction, erection and commissioning of the plants, and power transmission and distribution. This we have already seen in earlier chapter when we are talking about the project export. Right? Now, the technical and consultancy services, contract providing the provision to know-how, the skills, persons, training, these are categorized as a consultancy project. Supplies consist of supply contract, which involves primarily the export of the capital goods and also the industrial manufacturers. Taking into consideration these objectives, they have come out and formulated certain scheme. First one of that nature will be Overseas Investment Program. Now, this Overseas Investment Program, which is launched by the Exim Bank, consists of providing certain assistance by way of term loans to the Indian companies, up to 80% of their equity investment in overseas joint venture or wholly owned subsidiary. 80%, up to 80% loans they are providing for the purpose of investment. Then term loans to the Indian companies, they are providing towards 80% loan, means not a small value. It's a very big one. Only 20% stake is of the investor and 80% will be provided by these guys, that is Exim Bank. Then they are also issuing the guarantee facility to the overseas joint venture for raising the funds from or in the form of term loan or working capital. Okay, term loans to the overseas joint venture towards the, it is their part of functioning. How it works, that they will first capital expenditure, they will consider this term loan as a capital expenditure towards the acquisition of assets or acquisition of the company. Then providing the working capital also, equity investment in another company, then acquisition of the brands, patent rights and other IRR, IPRs, then acquisition of another company, as I said, and other activities that would otherwise be eligible for finance from Exim Bank had been an Indian entity. The lines of credit means what? Lines of credit is nothing but it is the financing mechanism through which the Exim Bank extends the support to the projects, equipments, goods and services from India. For that, there is an unbreakable line of credit is provided by the Exim Bank. This line of credit on its own and also on behalf of the support of the Government of India, the Exim Bank extends this line of credit to, one, the foreign government. Exim Bank gives the line of credit to the foreign government or their nominated agencies such as central banks, state-owned commercial banks, etc. Then it also gives the line of, extend the line of credit to the national and regional development banks, overseas financial institution, commercial banks abroad and other suitable overseas entities who are in need of the finance. This recipient, these recipients of the line of credit act as an intermediary, and for outlending to the overseas buyer for the import of Indian equipment, that means export from India for their goods and services. Coming down to important aspect, that is buyer's credit, which is always granted by the Exim Bank. But this is not a small amount. Okay. So, the overseas buyer or importer, they can avail this facility for import of eligible goods and services from India on the deferred payment term. Deferred payment means long term, beyond 100 or 6 months term. This facility enables the exporter or contractors to expand and expand abroad, that is in foreign countries, and non-traditional market also they are exploring. This also enables the export contractor to be competitive in bidding and negotiating for the overseas jobs, because the cost of such a buyer's credit is such a low, and that too in foreign currency. So its cost is very, very low as compared to the domestic exchange rate, right? Benefits arising out of this buyer's credit consist of, as this enables the overseas buyers to obtain the medium and long-term financing at the competitive interest rate against the host country's high cost of the borrowing. Next one is a marketing advisory services. This is also another aspect that Exim Bank has taken into consideration for implementation of their objectives or to achieve the objective. This plays a very promotional role and seeks to create the enhanced export capabilities and international competitiveness of Indian companies. Exim Bank, through its marketing advisory services, helps to the Indian exporting firms in globalization efforts by proactively assisting them to locating the overseas distributors, buyers, partners for their product and services. Now, Exim Bank also gives the finance to the corporates. Finance to corporates. In that, for their research and development finance for the export-oriented unit, EOUs, research and finance, is very much required so that R&D function of any EOUs will be financed by the Exim Bank. Then pre-shipment and post-shipment credit programs, which is extended by the Exim Bank as an export credit to the Indian exporter to meet the wide range of the trade financing requirement for the execution of an export transactions. Then lending program for the export oriented units also consist of the SME ADB line as well as the export lending to the export oriented units. Now this lending to the export oriented unit or the companies to finance their various capital requirement or capital expenditure of certain soft expenditure, okay? And in respect of the SME ADB line is nothing but it is for providing the foreign currency term loan to MSME sector, foreign currency term loan to the MSME sector in certain specific lagging states of India. Now, Exim Bank's role we have understood, government role, Reserve Bank of India role we have seen. Now we have to see which are the measures that has been taken by the banks, authorized dealer bank or any other commercial banks. The role is primarily providing the export credit at the pre-shipment and post-shipment stage to the exporter and also giving the guarantees on behalf of exporters to the overseas entities. When export bills are supported by the shipping documents, it cannot send directly to the foreign buyers. It has to be routed through the concerned bank of the exporter, okay? So as to, which is dealing in foreign exchange. The banker may provide the post-shipment finance to the exporter by negotiating such a bills which are drawn under the letter of credit by purchasing and discounting and covering the export under the firm order or contract on consignment basis. Export incentives offered by the bank, not by the government, incentives. This incentive consists of various facilities which are announced by the Director General of Foreign Trade, which functions under the Ministry of Commerce, and in their policy, which is called as a foreign trade policy. The scheme announces under foreign trade policy forms a significant part of the strategy of the export promotion, and the scheme includes the exemption or neutralization of the indirect taxes. Taxes plays very, very heavy and very vital role in the profitability of the export business. On one hand, and other hand, performance-based reward or incentive, that is duty credit, that is also given by the government of India to the exporters. Exemption or neutralization is also offered at the pre-export and post-export stage to facilitate the manufacturer, exporter, and also merchants to avail the duty exemption or neutralization. For import of local procurement of the inputs which are required by the manufacturing of the export product, there are certain instruments which are available under foreign trade policy. These instruments are export promotion under as the export promotion scheme, and in this scheme there are various schemes, chota schemes, small schemes are enumerated. One is rebate of duties and taxes on export product, that is ROTDEP. ROTDEP scheme will replace, and it has already replaced, the old Merchant Export India Scheme. Merchant Export India Scheme, that is MEIS. That scheme has been replaced by this ROTDEP, that is rebate of the duties and taxes for exported product. Then another scheme is Duty Exemption and Remission Scheme. Now, what are the types of duties? The types of duties consist of 1. Advance authorization scheme, advance authorization for annual requirement, duty-free import authorization, that is DFIE, then duty drawback and the customs and the central excise duty service taxes. Another scheme is a rebate of the service tax through all the industry rate. And the last one is the rebate on the state and the central tax which levy schemes, that is ROSCTL scheme. Rebate is also provided under this, right? This is coming under the duty exemption and remission scheme. Now let us see one by one in brief. Now, rebate of the duties and taxes on exported product. Rebate of duties and taxes on exported product consists the scheme, as it is said earlier, that has been MEIS scheme has been completely stopped or replaced by this particular scheme in a phased manner with effect from December 2020. This EPCG scheme, when we talk about this zero duty EPCG scheme, no duty is required to be paid, or post export EPCG duty credit scheme, that is also there. And fourth one is the EOU, EHTP, STP and BTP schemes. Now let us understand one by one. Rebate on duties and taxes on exported product. Okay. That is RODTEP scheme. RODTEP scheme aims to refund all the hidden taxes, replace all the hidden taxes which were earlier not refunded under any export incentive scheme, such as central and state taxes on the fuel used, transportation, export product, duties levied on electricity used for the manufacturing, mandi taxes which are levied by the APNC, that is Agriculture Produce Marketing Committees, toll taxes, stamp duty which is incurred by the import-export documentation and the others. All these things, they are getting the incentive, that means the refund of to the certain extent. Okay. Now, this advance authorization scheme, when we look into under the duty exemption and remission scheme, we will certainly come to know that duty-free import of the raw material is proposed under scheme, where the duty is not required to pay at the time of importing the raw material, which are required to produce the export goods. Because and from that raw material, the goods which are meant for the export is required to be manufactured and exported. Under such situation, no duty is required to be paid. Further, this allows the traders to import the raw material at 0% duty without making any payment of the duties, and if those raw materials will be used for manufacturing the export product. Another scheme is advance authorization for annual requirement. Advance authorization for annual requirement. In this, the exporters having the past export performance in at least the preceding two financial years, they shall be entitled for the advance authorization for annual requirement, and this shall only be issued for the items which are listed and which are having the SION, that is number. Okay. Then third one is a duty free import authorization, DFIA, duty free import authorization scheme. In this, the same, this is nothing but it is an advance authorization scheme. Only thing that is, it is allowed import for raw material only. However, this scheme is applicable only post-export. That means the duty import will only be allowed once the export are completed and not before that. Fourth one is a duty drawback of the customs, central excise duty and the service tax. This is administered by the Department of Revenue, that is DIR, and under this scheme, the products which are made out of the duty paid inputs are first exported and thereafter refund of duty is claimed in two ways. One, all industry at the all industry rate, and second one is the brand rate. For both, there are schedule and there are requirement of submission of the data or documents. Fifth scheme is rebate of the service tax through all industry rates. In this, refund of service tax which is paid on specified output of the services which are used for the export of the goods is available in the specified industry rate only. And the next one is the rebate on the state and central tax levy scheme, which is called as ROSCTL scheme. This old ROSCTL scheme was replaced by the new SOTL scheme in 2019. And this ROSTL scheme is only applicable to the appeal which is made up by the industry covering chapter number 61 to 63 of ITC handbook, and there you can have the list of these components. It grants the refund of the taxes such as VAT on transportation fuel, then captive powers, mandi tax, electricity duty, etc. And this scheme will also be soon, it is merged with RODTEP. Refund of or earlier duty and script paid to be payable. First one what we have seen, RODTEP scheme in all the sectors, right? Having considered these incentives which are offered by the Government of India as far as the taxation is concerned, there are other schemes also floated by the Government of India which consist of Town of Export Excellence. Town of Export Excellence. Government thought at state level, instead of monitoring the export performance, why not go little bit deep interior and see the performance of the individual district? That is why they have selected, they have put a criteria that the selected town which is producing the goods of worth rupees 750 crores or more is notified by that town of export excellence on the potential for the growth of export and provides the financial assistance under MAIS scheme to recognize these associations. Second one is a rebate on the duty on export goods and material which is used manufacture of such a goods. Rebate of the duty paid on the excisable duties or excisable goods which are exported on duty which is paid on the material which is used for manufacture of such export goods that may be claimed by the exporter. Other one is export of the goods under the bond, that is without payment of the excise duty. Central excise rule states that clearance of the excisable goods for the export without payment of the central excise duty from the approved factors, from the approved factory, warehouse and other premises. Right? Now, Market Access Initiative Scheme, that is MAIS scheme, which I have referred earlier also. Under this scheme, financial assistance is provided for the export promotion activities on the focus country, focus product basis and EPCs and industry and the trade association. Means from top to bottom, the focus is spread. The activities are like market studies, survey, setting up of the showroom, warehouses, participation in international trade fairs, publicity campaign, brand promotion, reimbursement of the registration of the charges for the pharmaceutical, testing charges for the engineering product abroad, etc. These are the activities which are covered under Market Access Initiative Scheme of the Government of India. Then Market Development Assistance Scheme, that is MDA. MIA we have seen. Now Market Development Assistance to Schemes. This financial assistance which will be given to the exporter who have the annual export turnover up to 30 crores for the trade fairs, buyer-seller meet which is organized by the EPCs and the trade promotion councils. Status holder scheme. The status holder scheme is also very important because after attending or achieving the prescribed export performance, a status of its will be recognized as 1-star export house, 2-star export house or 5-star export house, etc. 5-star export house, etc. In accordance with that, the eligible applicants are, as per their the export performance, they are put into the respective category. Such as status holders are eligible for various non-fiscal privileges as the prescribed in the foreign trade policy. Now GST refund for the exporter. Exporters many times pays the GSTs. Okay. Then this GST, as per the GST Act, exporters are eligible for the some of the scheme under the GST regime. LUT. LUT is a letter of undertaking. Exporter can export the goods without paying the GST by obtaining the letter of undertaking bond. Letter of undertaking bond. This is one scheme. Second one is a IGST refund. Exporter can export the goods on payment of integrated GST and later on claim that refund for the same from the customs department. Then another scheme is a 1% GST benefit for merchant exporters. Merchant exporters can procure the export of goods from the domestic suppliers at the rate of 0.1% concessional GST rate. Next one is advance authorization, that is AA, including the annual advance authorization, that is AAA. In this, all inputs which are consumed for producing the export product can be imported under advance authorization. Coming down to understand very important, that is DEPB, that is Duty Entitlement Passbook Scheme. It is a very old scheme and it is continued to work very nicely even as on date. So this Duty Entitlement Passbook Scheme, that is DEPB scheme, is towards neutralization of the basic custom duty on the inputs. Basic custom duty which is charged on inputs. So DEPB duty credit instrument, and therefore it allows the import of any permissible input irrespective of the fact whether the same input has been utilized in the export product or not. Duty Entitlement Passbook Scheme is therefore more flexible in nature. So this is a transferable instrument also. One can transfer from one to another. Duty drawback is in relation to the export of the indigenously manufactured goods, means refund of the duties which are paid on the raw material component parts and also packing material consumed in production and the export thereof. These duties, that is duty under duty drawback scheme, the duties may be the customs duty paid on imported material and also or the duties of the central excise paid on indigenous material that can be claimed under the duty drawback scheme. Thank you very much.